Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggins Show. By yours, joined as ever by Matt Stevens. Matt, we're in Martigny.
We are, and it's windy.
We're in Switzerland.
Yeah, we're in Switzerland. Oh yeah, we're in Switzerland, aren't we?
Yeah, it's we're on the approach, beautiful. Actually, the valley to Verbier, because we stayed here in 2009 tour when we finished at Verbier, of course, when Alberto Contador attacked.
Of course, yeah.
And I had a great ride that day. But yeah, Martigny, we've had a prologue of the Tour of Romandie here.
Mm.
2011.
Well, what about the great pistachio car park battle that you hear? We've heard.
Do you want to tell
well?
our listeners about that, Matt?
Well, we
had a giant sized bag
of low price. Let's be honest with you, low price pistachios.
Costco.
The kind of ones that
Costco?
Every third
Costco.
One,
if you're listening,
I think it was Carrefour, because they're an expensive nut. They're one of the most expensive nuts out there. But I think we had Peter bought a reasonably a lot. There's maybe 500 grams of pistachios, but probably every fourth pistachio is nothing in the shell. And I don't know whether you took umbrage to that, because me and Pete were diligently unpacking the car. We were carrying other people's suitcases. Next thing you know, I thought it was hailstone. I thought it was hail. I thought, looked up, no clouds. Then I looked behind me, and you were hurling pistachios at us.
One by one.
Yeah. And then you kept missing, and then there came...
In clusters.
There were clusters. Clusters of nuts being thrown.
And I was enjoying myself.
Brad, your little face was lit up.
It's
like
great.
A child on Christmas Eve. And what could we do? We couldn't do anything about it, Pete, could we? Pop and defend ourselves.
We couldn't, but
you
it did
started throwing
me,
back.
It reminded me of where was it we were the other day? The start that
Welcome
we were.
Pete to the show for the first time.
Hello, everybody.
Pete, now producer of cycling at Eurosport.
That's it. 2019, we were in the same place as we started the other day. Where was it, Brad?
I can't remember the name of the town, but we were. It was in Belgium, wasn't
it? Yeah, we kind of had deja vu. Didn't
it was
we?
Where Adam Blythe won that stage.
Yeah,
and that race at Boucher, wasn't it? Boucher or something.
And the only thing that I remembered about it was you lobbing Haribo at Matt from about 30 meters away.
Yeah, from an elevated platform.
It was impressive.
Yeah, I do remember that being hit by Haribo from long distance.
I do enjoy throwing things at you, Matt.
I was ever so slightly hurt, but also slightly impressed by your accuracy. You're good at throwing small things at people from long distances.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're here in Martigny, and we're in our second campanile. Oh no, it's second campanile.
Second campanile.
And
it's changed quite a bit since.
It's really high end. It's really, really nice, isn't it? But it's warm, so we're outside.
One for you, Matt. The thing I noticed just then, actually, when I had a shower, was the hairdryer was very powerful. So you should have a look.
No, I've got my phone here.
Have you
I'm
done
about
it?
To post a review. That's what I was doing. I did a review and couldn't find it first.
No, it's hidden away under the shelf.
Yeah, but...
Because it's not a wall-mounted one,
no,
is it?
No, and I've never done a review of a non-wall-mounted hairdryer, so it's a first for me. That's why I was a little bit late to the pod, so apologies there, Pete. But let's get cracking.
Yeah.
Another day's... Well, another... A slow burner.
Bit of deja vu as well, because
yeah,
look who won.
It was... Yeah.
But we said this morning, you were sure that a break would go. I kind of agreed with you by the end, because you
I think
kept
most,
going on about
most,
it.
Well, no, hold on a minute, mate. It had breakaway stamps all over it, but
I did say,
only
didn't
three
I?
Rides
Do you remember
away?
I said last night on the pod that it could be one of them days, like the other day, where it just three men go away and they cheat and it comes back to a sprint and Van Aert wins.
And that's what happened.
I thought more would happen on that last climb to the finish, because when I came up on the motorbike, I thought, oh, this is nasty.
Yeah.
But I think it was that nasty that it just everything was nullified. And UAE did a great job today, didn't they?
They did. Actually, you've got to take your hat off to Rafa Majka, who picked things up.
Nice car's just gone by, actually.
No, there's a lot of nice cars.
You see a lot of nice cars in Switzerland.
Flat back, and there's a little smart car there. I'm not sure if it's electric or
Toyota.
Petrol.
That's a Toyota.
Is it a Toyota? I haven't got my glasses on.
Is a...
Oh, that's a Mustang.
That's a Mustang. Anyway,
wow. This is well. We're outside, aren't we?
There's a nice bar as well. I like the green lights under the bar.
No, I think it. I mean, it's quite. It's one of the most well-appointed hotels from this particular chain that I think I've ever been in. And we're sat on elevated decking. There's midges everywhere.
There's mosquitoes everywhere. Must be that time of year. But we are in the mountains. We're in the foothills of the mountains.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
But yeah, today I was on the bike. There wasn't much to talk about today because it was frenetic for 25-30k.
We missed the opening bit, so yeah, it was.
Then there was a crash that I heard in the peloton. Nairo was held out. I didn't see any of that, but I think Ben O'Connor went down again.
He's had a torrid tour,
and then
Ben,
it looked for a while like he was at the back for quite a bit, and he was going to climb off, or we thought he might climb off. So yeah, well done for getting through that. But then we had Thibaut Pinot crash, didn't we?
Yes.
I just saw a little bit of that on the TV, actually, because he got brought down by a Musette, I believe.
I didn't realise it was a Musette.
Someone else's Musette.
It was a Trek
Segafredo Musette. Got caught up in that. So that was... He never has any luck, does he, Thibaut?
No. I do feel for him, and he's clearly going for stages, but he had torrid luck. He's either winning or just like... There's nothing in between, is there? There's no... Unfortunately, no consistency for him. Apart from a couple of years back, I guess. But no. And then we had that breakaway, didn't we? With Cattaneo, with Frison, and then with Fred Wright. And Frison got dropped, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then Cattaneo got dropped by Fred Wright, and that was a brilliant ride. He's a really
hovered around 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute at one stage. Then they drew it back out to 2 minutes. They did a great ride today, so hats off to them.
It's massive. I mean, obviously they got caught. We know the finish, but Fred Wright bowled past me and Hannah in the buses, and I know him reasonably well now. And I said, Fred, and hey up, Matt. He said, I can't believe they didn't give me the red number. The red number, he was really disappointed. But I think the ruling on that one, or not the ruling so much, they have to make a decision with 5K to go. Mm. I think he dropped him with 4K to go, didn't he?
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would have got that one. So I did feel for him. But he's a real chipper lad and a real talent,
yeah,
isn't
nice
he?
Nice kid, yeah.
We got caught. And then we had, Wout van Aert taken
the
second
stage.
Made
their intention clear early on. They started riding, didn't they?
Yeah.
With, of course, the guy who was second, Bling.
Yep, Bling Matthews. So, he's second place of the tour so far.
So Jensen was riding as well. And I kind of wonder, I mean, Van Aert, everyone had Van Aert's name written all over it, but that's, you know, a bit of a reward from yesterday as well, because obviously they got second on the stage. So I heard Frans Marsen talking to you this morning saying Vingegaard was actually disappointed. He thought he had that yesterday, which shows his confidence.
Yeah.
But Van Aert, very impressive again. He's pretty much sealed that green jersey already, hasn't he? Two stage wins, the yellow jersey, a couple of days in yellow, green jersey.
Well, they gave today, and I know they've... For the last 3 or 4 years, they've shifted the points, haven't they, in the points classification. And today was so really hard. I was surprised when they said, yes, today was another 50-pointer, because generally the 50 points are on the flat ones. But, he's got, I think it's 246 points.
Yeah.
So he's heading quite possibly towards a record in that jersey competition and looks brilliant. And when you, the thing that impressed me, though, Brad, as well, is what we stage eight, actually, is the frequency, is the intensity and the frequency and the way that Van Aert as just keeps that consistency. You just wonder how long he can maintain that, don't you?
Well, and the team as well. They seem to be chasing a lot at the moment, don't they?
Yeah.
And they've got two GC prospects in there as well. Yeah, I mean, it was another great day and a very unpredictable day, and not a textbook day either, because as we say, we thought that today would be a day where the peloton would take the opportunity to have a breather and a nice break would go. Someone else would get the stage that was out of the GC, but it all stayed together. And it was a fight up there. I did speak to Rod this morning, actually, and that was just on the Geraint Thomas, and they're four riders in the top 10. They're sitting really nice. So you had a chat with Steve Cummins, didn't you?
Mm.
But Rod said that G did his best ever ride, or his best ever power, for that length of time up that climb yesterday, and he was 20 watts better than he's ever been.
That's incredible.
Not sure on what section they were talking about, or as a whole or what, but that shows the kind of form Geraint's in.
He does look lean, he looks relaxed, and I spoke to Geraint when he's doing his warm down. It's quite interesting, actually. He was doing his warm down, and you know all about that, and he's been on for a while waiting to interview him, and obviously he was far away. Normally we'd stretch the mic over, but we couldn't, and he called over one of the coaches and he said, what's the optimum warm down? He said I've got 20 minutes here, can I do 13? It was quite funny, he just wanted to get off, but did his warm down. I had a bit of a chat with him and he said, I'm just feeling relaxed.
Yeah.
And they've come into it with a different sort of pressure.
Yeah.
I don't think Geraint has ever come into a Tour de France with such a different frame of mind. And I think he's reveling in it. I think the team are reveling in it. Four riders in the top 10, still got options. Again, we talked about Tom Pidcock yesterday, but again, he was in the front. He's loving it. He's so talented and wants to win bike races, but he's still... still quite starry-eyed at the prospect of well, the fact that he's wearing a jersey in the Tour de France. Yeah. But they're looking very, very strong as each day goes on. Geraint, to me, is looking like a definite podium bet here.
Yeah, it's good to see, actually.
So on to the first big mountain stage of the race. Tomorrow finishes in Châtel. Brad, a place that you know very well. Hello there.
Been skiing there. I went skiing there in 2012 after Christmas. I went out on my mountain bike with studs on. I've ridden the last climb. It's a long old slog of a climb
right
up to Châtel. And I think it's about 17 kilometres long. So it's a proper climb, and it's a whittling down process. And I think after the days we've had, there's going to be a lot of tired legs again. And I think that we could see another win for Tadej Pogacar, followed by Vingegaard. It's going to become a battle between them two, I think.
Yeah, he does. They do look, well, not exactly head and shoulders, but I think it's worth tempering. Yet the Planche des Belles Filles, although it's a hard climb, and again, a climb that you know very intrinsically well, it's different than the Long Mountains, isn't it? It's a different sort of stage. And yesterday, you only had two third category climbs, so it wasn't a true mountain stage. It was almost like an intermediate mountain stage and far more explosive. So we're moving into the bigger mountains now, where we might see a slightly different shape to the race and different riders come to the fore. And also, this will be a real test, I think, of UAE Team Emirates. Maybe having to ride, because we've seen... It's been...
Minus
again,
one rider, let's not forget.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost a rider today to COVID.
Yeah.
Vegard Langen, the Norwegian.
Yeah,
and
I
he's
don't
a big
know much
engine.
About him, actually.
He's a former under 23 road race champion. No, right. sorry, TT champion.
Yeah.
On multiple occasions. Exceptionally strong and part of their engine room. But they'll reconfigure. They're obviously upset at losing him. But I think it was interesting to see Brandon McNulty slip away in the final today, actually. Yeah. He rode really, really well a couple of days ago, slipped away, and it was left to Rafa Majka, because we saw
he's still
bunch
rider,
up a little bit. But Majka, what is he, 37 now?
Yeah.
36, 37 years of age, double, you know, multiple stage wins, double King of the Mountains in the Tour. Really lovely bloke. But boy, he has really upped his game since he joined UAE Team Emirates.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real...
he's almost
Indian
got a new
summer.
Lease of life in the job he has to do, doesn't he?
Yeah, completely riding in the service of Tadej. But I think another big test for them tomorrow. And I'm wondering if we'll see teams try to attack tomorrow. But for me, Pogacar just looks so fresh. And it doesn't look, even when he won yesterday, Brad, he just looked around. There wasn't any pain etched on his face. He just looked relaxed, didn't he?
Yeah, so another big day. And then, of course, a rest day.
Yep.
And we're a week down in the Tour with 2 weeks to go. Amazingly, we feel like we've done more than a week now, haven't we?
Yeah. I mean, okay, get to the rest day. The riders are going to go out for a poodle, have a bit of a rub. Yeah. If we had a choice of going to a Chinese or an Indian restaurant,
Brad, we discussed this earlier, didn't we?
We discussed it in the car, but I'm bringing it into the pod, if you don't mind.
No.
Because I think it's important. What would you go for?
Chinese at this stage.
What would you have?
Well, we did have this discussion about crispy duck, you know. Half a crispy duck. Is it too much for a starter? Should it be on the entree list? Because I think it's a main meal in itself.
Yeah.
And a quarter duck just doesn't do it justice. So you've got to go half or a full, particularly if there's two or three of you. And it can get a bit much.
So to what you're saying to me, Brad, should Chinese restaurants start to look at, like kind of evolving their menu and having a third of a crispy duck on there, perhaps?
I think it should just become part of the main meal.
Yeah, okay.
Especially if you go for a spring roll.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. They're called, in France, spring rolls are called nebs.
Nebs.
N-E-B-S, nebs.
Right.
Wonder what the hell they were.
I never knew that.
Are they little crispy rolls. Yeah, nebs.
Nebs. One final question, Matt. Is the green jersey done and dusted? I think it pretty much is, barring crash, barring COVID injury.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, well, he's just so dominant. The thing is, he can win bunch sprints, as we know, and you wouldn't put it past him win another stage.
No.
And maybe even winning the TT.
Champs-Élysées, of course, he won there last year.
I think, and he's going for the sprints out on the road just to make sure.
And the stage to Carcassonne, I think that could be a sort of semi-sprint.
I think apart from the big mountaintop finishes, though, he can't rule him out for those either, seeing what
he's
done before.
There's another three or four he could win.
Yeah. He could come out of this race with five stage wins and a record in the green jersey. So to answer your question, barring accidents, COVID, he's going to win this.
Well, I mean, if you're a DS, would you send your other sprinters home?
No.
Pete is asking that question.
No, well, do you know why?
You wouldn't do that. No,
do you know why he's done it? Subliminally, he's wearing a green T-shirt.
Because without those riders, you wouldn't have the winners. So I don't think anyone should go home. I think you can only beat who's there. But There's always a chance that he'll get beaten one day.
Yeah.
You know, as you say, it's he got beaten on the first two stages by Jakobsen and that. So it's
a different mentality. I mean, the sprinters now are looking ahead to a lot of mountains, a lot of climbing, but they'll be looking really deep into the race now for their next opportunity. And there's only really got Champs-Élysées the day before the TT is an opportunity for the sprinters, and there's one other stage, but it's a bit lumpy, more for the likes of Matthew. So the sprinters have only really got two nailed on stages for the whole tour now.
And stage wins is what their goals are, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people came into this race thinking of the green jersey. The green jersey is almost a side competition to the priority is winning a stage. I think if you asked any sprinter, would they rather win one stage in the Tour de France and not the green jersey, or the green jersey on its own and not win a stage? Most of them would say they'd rather win a stage.
I think you're probably right, mate, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. We should ask that question.
We should do, shouldn't we?
Anyway, see you tomorrow.
Cheers, Brad.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.